Welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, a weekly news digest covering events in Israel. It's relevant and accurate information you need to know, direct from the Holy Land. You're listening to Front Page Jerusalem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, the voice of Israel to the world, brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel in the city of the great king, Jerusalem. I'm Earl Cox.
I'm Ben Kinslow.
And I'm Kevin Howard in Jerusalem.
Israelis continue to make remarkable advances in the medical field as Israel upholds its status as the innovation nation. Not only do they work at finding answers to previously unsolvable situations, they also continue to provide new ways to better handle existing ones.
Well, that's true, Earl. And in the field of human therapy, Israel is indeed a leader, using that innovation not just for themselves, but fulfilling the word of God as being a help to the nations. Finding ways to better the world and those living in it is known in Hebrew as tikkun olam, or repairing the world.
One of the more common problems affecting a person's communication skills is in the area of speech disorders. And to find out more about new advances in speech therapy developed in Israel, Kevin Howard recently spoke with Yair Shapira, the CEO of Amplio Speech. He reveals the very latest of merging high tech and human therapy to achieve some amazing results. We'll bring you that in-depth interview in just a moment. But first, let's hear from the CFI Jerusalem News Desk, where David Milburn has the recent headlines from Israel. David?
Thanks, Earl. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu left for Brussels on Monday to meet with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Netanyahu's office said that the meeting with Pompeo would address regional developments. While the Prime Minister's office did not provide specifics, Netanyahu is believed to have communicated a warning to Pompeo that the Israeli Premier intends to be heard by Lebanon and Hezbollah. The essence of that warning is that if Lebanon does not rein in the Hezbollah terror group and control its designs on precision-guided missiles, that Israel will take matters into its own hands. Netanyahu was accompanied to Brussels by top Israeli intelligence and military officials. The meeting comes as the U.S. administration gears up to release its much-anticipated Middle East peace plan. Now, before we return to Earl, here's today's This Page in History.
On December 7, 1830, Judah Leib Ben Asher Gordon was born. He was also known as Leon Gordon, became a leading Hebrew poet of the 19th century. In fact, he emerged as the leading Hebrew poet of his generation and an important and innovative essayist as well. One of Gordon's most important poems of this period was the Hakitsa Ami, Awake My People, which called on Russian Jews to abandon their isolation from Russian and European culture and partake of the great civilization around them while remaining committed Jews. He sought a balance between Jewishness as a living culture, expressed in a revivified Hebrew language, and as exemplified in Russia by the adoption of the Russian language, abandonment of the traditional trades of Jews, and loyalty to the regime. He later became editor of the most important Hebrew newspaper of the age. Controversially, Gordon actively supported the immigration of Jews to America rather than Palestine, at least until religious traditionalism was not prevalent, which he felt might make Israel a strict theocracy. He died in 1892.
Welcome back, everybody. When people deal with speech disorders, especially the young, it can affect not only physical communication, but also the very self-confidence needed to succeed in everyday life. Our Kevin Howard recently spoke with Yair Shapira in Israel to find out some of the latest advances designed to help.
Thank you, Earl. I am talking by phone today with Yair Shapira. He's the founder and CEO of Amplio Speech. Yair, thank you for being our guest today.
Good morning. Happy to join.
Yair, can you give our audience a bit of history and background on how you became interested in the pursuit of the field of speech therapy?
Sure. So 20 years ago, I finished my PhD in the Technion, in Haifa, and the topic was effects of mental stress on human voice. And I didn't touch the topic for many years. I served as an executive in some startup and high-tech firms. And funny enough, when my first son was born, at his first load, when he was like 2 years old, we heard that he stutters. And as he grew, his stuttering became more and more severe. And we took him to a speech therapist, the top speech therapist we could find. And time again, they sort of fixed his stutter, but he relapsed back into his old habit of stuttering. And you can imagine also that every time that you fall back to your stutter, the chances of going to another session, another cycle, the frustration grows, definitely for him, also for us as parents. So a few years ago, 4 years ago, my wife and myself, we had a nice dinner at my mother's house, and my son, Eve, had a very bad stuttering day because stuttering comes and goes. And my mother told us, listen, you two have PhDs in biomedical engineering. Why don't you go and try and fix something, some technological remedy for stuttering? And this is how it all began.
So how did the process proceed as you began to research the area that subsequently became amplio-speech?
So the first thing we went to look for is to see how unique is our child. We knew he's very unique, but how unique is his stutter? So apparently 1% of the population suffers from stuttering, and 10%, 10 to 12% of the population suffer from various speech disorders, whether these are articulation, pronunciation, delayed language, fluency, voice. And as we knew from our family, when you have a speech disorder, it has impacts on your personal, social, probably later employment life. And we said, wow, this is something that we can help not only our son, but his fellow sufferers. We also learned that specifically in stuttering, there is an 84% relapse, meaning that out of 6 children that will go to speech therapy and will succeed in speech therapy, 5 will lapse back to their stuttering. But therapy is not extremely efficacious. As engineers, the first thing that struck us was that there are no objective measures for speech. So when you ask a speech therapist, this guy is here for 3-4 months, is he any better than he was 3 months ago? The answer would be, sounds like. Now, in the medical world, you don't say these kind of soft measures. You say, you give a number, you show efficacy, you show progress, you have norms. This is not the tradition of speech therapy. It's a much softer, subjective profession. Some even call it an art rather than a profession. Yeah, so we said, well, there is a gap here. There is a gap between a very broad profession, 200,000 speech pathologists in the U.S., about 40 million sufferers in the U.S. There is a big gap between this huge pain and what technology has to offer now in the 21st century. So we came to look for it. Now, we couldn't do it alone, so we joined forces with the big masters of the field. First one was Dr. Yoav Medan, who is a very famous e-health or digital health technologist. He's the guy who led IBM's speech labs. He's the guy who invented focused ultrasound surgery. It's a very famous TED talk, and he joined me as our CTO. And then with Professor Ofer Amir, who headed Tel Aviv University School of Communication Disorders. So he's definitely between the top speech therapists in Israel and well-known in the field worldwide. And together we spent many nights looking for solutions. How can we measure? How can we provide feedback? How can we make this art a science? That's how it all started.
Yair, could you please describe for us actually how does the product work and what does your service do?
Sure. So we are combining our solution. We are providing a service, a speech therapy service, digital service. We are combining the powers of artificial intelligence, machine learning, digital platform with a community of speech-language pathologists, SLPs, who are the professionals in the field, and they work for us. So we hire them, and they work for us, and we provide a service and an innovative service model. What do I mean by that? I mean that if you have a kid that suffers from a speech disorder, instead of getting face-to-face meetings usually at schools in the U.S., maybe once or twice a week, and then the speech pathologist will give homework or assignments, and none of these assignments actually are implemented. There is below 5% adherence or attainment completion in speech therapy. And this is why speech therapy is stretched that long usually. What we are doing is we are combining everything within a digital platform that augments speech therapy. You would get face-to-face sessions, but online with a speech pathologist, your own speech pathologist, very concise sessions, short and straight to the point based on data. Then you would get in an application, you get the assignment that you have to complete, and we make sure you complete. In a trial we've ran in Montana recently, it will be published soon, we reached 86% adherence versus 5%. So it's almost 20 times more therapy time without adding a single cent to the cost. And you can imagine that when you practice, and when you practice effectively, then progress is accelerated. Now, everything is followed by very deep technologies, very profound and patented technologies that we have, which measure, detect, classify, identify speech disorders. We put numbers on speech disorders, and then the client, the child, can get feedback on how well he's doing it. The therapist sees the progress, sees the compliance, sees the status. We have norms, and using artificial intelligence, we know what is the best path of treatment for this specific child, for this specific individual, according to what 100,000 other children have already passed. So the system does things that a human cannot do or cannot do well, like repetitive, ongoing, day-to-day stuff. And the human, personal speech therapist, does things which a system cannot do, which are the personal touch, the clinical decision-making, the assignment, prescription, and so on.
So then the digital interface is recording data and performance, which is then used by the speech therapist. Is that correct?
That's correct. There is a lot of decision support provided by the system because the system knows tens of thousands of clients, whereas a human speech pathologist has seen in his career maybe dozens or hundreds. So the system knows more, and they can provide decision support. Of course, the end decision is always by a human clinician who is licensed and trained by us.
As we pray for the nation of Israel and her people, let's also remember to be thankful that God remains true to his promise of blessing the world through this tiny nation. But right now, we need to take a short break so that you can hear about a special outreach project of Christian Friends of Israel that's making a tangible difference in the lives of so many people in Israel today.
After years of planning and a long, tiring journey, you have finally arrived home in a new land, Israel, the land of your ancestors. Now the task of building a new life with only the things you brought with you begins. A friend mentions a lighthouse distribution center and something called Open Gates. Curious, you go. On arriving, you hear welcome in your native language from smiling and cheerful volunteers. After telling a bit about yourself, you're given a beautiful gift basket of brand new necessities for your home. Then, the volunteers invite you to browse the plentifully, gently used clothing hanging on nearby racks. Having only brought one large suitcase, the selection and variety presented are like a dream. You look around at others just like you, even families with little children. The staff help you find everything you need, and too soon, the visit is finished. But it's okay. Open Gates will be there with their gates wide open for your next visit.
Christian Friends of Israel's project, Open Gates. Just one more way we're making a difference in Israel, one life at a time. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to our continuing discussion between Front Page Jerusalem's Kevin Howard and Yair Shapira, as they talk about the latest advances in the field of speech therapy as high-tech merges with traditional measures.
Thanks again, Earl. And for those of you just joining us, I'm talking by phone today with Yair Shapira. He's the founder and CEO of AmplioSpeech. So, Yair, are you seeing significant progress then in the child or the client in their real world situations?
Oh, definitely. So we are a very academic and scientific and data-driven company. Maybe this is one of our claims to fame. Just to give you an order of magnitude, in the last year and a half, we've accumulated 20 million data points. Just in reference, this is 4,000 times more than the total accumulated science of speech therapy in the last 100 years. So you can say that Amplia Speech is the company that has the potential to know more than anyone else what works and what does not. What we've learned about our own therapy, the various trials in Israel, in Europe, and in the U.S., is first of all that we reach a very high efficacy and low relapse. Moreover, it's accelerated. We see accelerated progress. What has been done in years, we can do in months. So you know that in the U.S., speech therapy is provided within the classroom, within the school, according to a law called Individualized Disabilities in Education Act. They take kids out of class, out of math class, in order to treat their kids. And they do it in average between 3 and 4 years. So you stigmatize the children. You take them out of very important classes like math classes. Now imagine if you can do it in a shorter time, maybe without taking them out of class because they can do it in their spare time. So you would reduce stigmatization and you would also enable them to stay in the class and learn math, English language, or history. So this is the efficacy. It has a broader sense than just treating speech therapy, because concise and effective speech therapy also enables the children to get better education.
Yair, how is this technology affecting the client's confidence and their outlook and even their self-image?
Oh, this is a very important point, because the self-impact, the internal impact of a speech impediment is often by far larger than the external impact. What we hear is just the tip of the iceberg of what the person feels. And in stuttering, there is a very nice model for this. There is a measurement called OASES, O-A-S-E-S, invented by Professor Scott Yarus, that measures the self-impact, the internal impact of stuttering. It doesn't correlate to the external frequency of stuttering. We've done a trial, and we published it in the Journal of Fluency Disorders with Professor Scott Yarus of Michigan State University, that shows very nice correlation between our measurement and the internal impact. So our measurement correlates to the internal impact, and we can see measurement improves, which means also that the internal impact is reduced. We've just finished a trial in France, Portugal, and Israel, which directly shows that using Amplio speech, people feel better about their speech impediment, of course, while their speech impediment is also reduced.
So for you as an entrepreneur, how important is the social and the personal impact of your clients for those who use Amplio speech?
The impact, the social impact and the personal impact is always the best fuel for us entrepreneurs. I can even say that though we are very data-driven, we look at big data and so on, it's the small stories, the personal testimonial that move us and drive us. So just recently we've heard some testimonials from parents in Texas where we are walking about those children. It's amazing to see how it changes lives.
Yeah, Yair, comment for us a little bit on the recent World Summit Award and what that means to you.
Oh, definitely. So the World Summit Award is a very interesting competition that the UN drives for the various impacts that the UN is looking for, whether it be environmental, employment, third world, or education. We've been chosen as a national representative from Israel in the education field, and have now made it to the final shortlist. Results will be published soon. The reason that we are very interested in this global activity is because the impact that we make on developed countries is a replacement or an addition, an augmentation to existing speech therapy. But the impact that you make on third world countries is binary. There is not, in China and in India, there are no speech therapists. In the U.S., there are 200,000 speech therapists. China and India, which are four times larger than the U.S. each, have about 1,000 speech therapists. So practically, if you're a child in China or India, not just talk about Africa or other countries in Asia, you are just deprived from getting any speech therapy, whether traditional or digital. The nice thing about digital is that it can leapfrog generations of speech therapy, and then you can offer a very broad proliferation of this kind of therapy to all the people in need.
So give us your insight on the estimation of the global impact that you think you're providing.
We are focusing on the U.S. market, of course, on Israel, which is our home base. We also have some strongholds in Europe. We've received a very nice grant from the European Union. It's a $2 million grant. We've achieved being selected in the European Union eHealth Award nominee. So we are very strong in Europe, the U.S. and Israel. Going forward, the developing world is interesting for us. Of course, using partners, it's very difficult to enter this market.
Yair, has it been a significant factor in the development of this technology that you're based in Israel?
Oh, definitely. You know, Israel is we call it the Silicon Wadi. Wadi means valley in Arabic. So Israel is extremely active and intensive in terms of technology and entrepreneurship. Israel is so unique and definitely works in our favor is how fast Israelis move, how willing are they to take risks, technological risks, and try out things, how aggressive, positively aggressive, we are pushing technologies into market. And why is that in the global market? And why is that? Because Israelis, unlike many other countries, at day one do not have a local market. It's a small market, very small niche. So at day one, we need to be international. Day one, we need to go to the big players in Europe and the U.S., which makes us very international. So combining all of these with the Israeli culture of chutzpah, we move very fast and very very innovatively on all aspects, technological or commercial. So we are looking for three kinds of speech therapists, speech pathologists. One are those that are decision makers within school districts and want to try out a new form of speech therapy, which is more efficacious and more economical for the school. Second is an affiliate program that we have for those private practitioners who want to have a broader influence, want to influence more children, and want to help us to get to their local school district. And the third are recruitment. We are looking for speech therapists to work for us. Speech therapists want to work from home, want to have the most advanced technology, want to see how well they are doing. Those that are confident enough to say, we want to be the best speech therapist. So if you request a demo or if you want to be recruited, this form that you fill in will arrive at our U.S. company in Baltimore. And the guys there will set up an online demo. You don't have to prepare for anything. You'll just see an online demo with one of our guys.
Yair Shapira, founder and CEO of Amplio Speech, thank you for being our guest today on Front Page Jerusalem.
Okay. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for that interesting and encouraging interview concerning the latest innovation in improving the lives of so many that deal with speech disorders and difficulties. Well, our time is almost up for this week, and coming up, we'll hear from David Kruckman with this week's Bible on the Go. But first, another visit to the CFIJ News Desk and David Milburn.
Thanks, Ben. The IDF launched Operation Northern Shield overnight to expose and destroy cross-border attack tunnels built by Hezbollah, which is a proxy of Iran, along the Lebanon border and into northern Israel. An IDF spokesman said that the digging of the cross-border attack tunnels posed an imminent threat to the safety of Israeli citizens and constitutes a flagrant and severe violation of Israeli sovereignty. The objective of the operation is to expose and neutralize all Hezbollah attack tunnels which have crossed into Israeli territory. The operation will take place along the so-called Blue Line, the name for the international border between Israel and Lebanon, and strictly within Israeli territory. It will include troops from the Combat Engineering Corps, the Intelligence Branch, as well as the Defense Ministry's Administration for the Development of Weapons and Technological Infrastructure. The military stated that a number of areas close to the security fence with Lebanon have been declared a closed military zone and that it has beefed up troop numbers in the Northern Command ahead of all possible scenarios. No reservists have been called up. While the IDF stressed that it is prepared for any escalation with Hezbollah that could stem from the operation, now, before we return to Earl and Ben, here's David Nekrutman with this week's Bible on the Go.
There are people in my life that have impacted me who are still living, and the sages of the past. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel is one of those people who I've never met personally, but his words continue to inspire me even to today. He is famous for walking with Dr. Martin Luther King from Selma to Montgomery during the height of the civil rights movement. And while he was walking, he comments that his legs were praying. How can walking be prayer? It struck me. It was something that was like a wow moment, because I always thought of prayer as a list of requests I need to approach God about. And hey, this is what I need in my life, a nice car, house, health. But Rabbi Heschel taught me something very profound, that prayer is nothing about you. It's everything about God. But in order for that to really happen, you have to contract your ego and allow God to come in. This actually was very profound for me when I rediscovered Psalm 69:13. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. The beginning words, but I pray to you, in Hebrew is va'ani tefilati, literally translated, I am prayer. What does that mean, I am prayer? How do you become prayer? That has to happen at the moment where your ego, self-centeredness, is totally out of the picture and you're in the state of God. This is David Nekrutman with Bible on the Go.
Thanks, David. Well, that's our show for today. We hope that you've enjoyed the program, everybody, and thanks for joining us. And please don't forget to support this station, because it supports Israel.
But before we go, let me invite you to join us on this station again right here next week as we bring you all the latest from Israel and the Middle East.
So for now, on behalf of the entire staff of Front Page Jerusalem, I'm Earl Cox, reminding you that because God loves Israel, I do too.
You've been listening to Front Page Jerusalem. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com. Front Page Jerusalem is brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel Jerusalem, making a difference in Israel one life at a time. Front Page Jerusalem is a production of Level E Media Incorporated.